just want to read a couple of verses from the beginning of chapter 6. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, so the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. So just a couple of verses there. And remember, this is all this letter that Paul wrote about 64 AD to Timothy, young pastor in Ephesus. Paul had left Timothy there to lead the church. And in these couple of verses, he's just speaking and about relationships. He's talked about relationships within the family. He's talked about relationships within the church. And now he's talking a little bit about the workplace, which I think for many of us will be familiar. Many of us either have worked or are working or are looking to work. And it's a little snippet that Paul has given to try and encourage believers in the way they behave in the workplace and their relationships there. And we need to remember when we look at this that the basis of their society that Paul was writing in is very, very different to ours. It's a slave-based economy. Now, we would say absolutely abhorrent in this day and age, but we've got to try and see things not with our eyes, but as Paul saw them and how things were. He dealt with things as they were, not necessarily how he might have liked them to be. But in the situation that people were in, they needed to function as Christians, they need to live as Christians. And we understand and we know from history that the early church blossomed and thrived amongst the slave class. And many, many slaves became Christians. And this was, at times, could have been a problem for in the Roman society, because the Romans relied upon the fact that the work was done by the slave class, and then you'd have some free people. And then you'd have the rulers. So a very different class structure to what perhaps we're used to in this country, at least. Some people say, well, actually, these days we're just wage slaves rather than slaves in the sense that they were in those days. We also need to recognise that for many households, slaves were very well treated. And were trusted and had functions, not just menial tasks. They would be trusted with running the finances. They may be trusted with teaching the children in the household. They were very trusted and were well cared for. And often when they'd been loyal slaves, they were granted their freedom by their masters to have their lives. That's not to say that every master was a good master. Some would be terrible. Some would be oppressive. Some would be abusive. But from what we can understand from historical records, at least, that was the exception rather than the rule. Okay, so I just wanted to get us to think, well, as soon as we think of the word slave, we think this is absolutely terrible. And, what's happened around the world, and is still happening with modern day slavery, is absolutely abhorrent and terrible. But in the society that Paul was writing into, it was very different to what we would now term slavery. Okay? So we just need to have that put, if you like, different spectacles on to see what was happening. So, first of all, what does Paul say? Well, there's going to be Christians who are slaves, but there are also going to be Christians who are masters. And so he has words for both. And I also want to deal with the fact that it didn't matter whether your master was a Christian or not. He is saying they need to be, they deserve respect. They need to be honoured. He says, count their own masters worthy of all honour. In other words, you needed to respect your master. whether they were a believer or whether they were not. It doesn't matter. Your behaviour should be the same whether you're working for a Christian or you're working for a non-Christian. Sometimes you get people say, oh, it would be so much easier if I was working for a Christian boss. Yeah? You ever had that? Or you thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could work for a Christian company? You know, be careful for what you wish for. I worked for a firm that was, all the partners were Christian. And I worked for them. And you know what? They were far worse employers than the firm I worked for before and the firm I worked for after when the partners were not Christian. You know, it's sad to say, I won't name them or anything like that, but I've personally found it far easier working for the non-Christian than it is the Christians. Yeah? So, whatever the situation is, we're to work as the Lord commands us to give respect. See, if we've got an unbelieving master, then how we live and how we work, how we go about our tasks, may resonate with that man or that woman, with that person, and actually we're living out our faith. We don't leave our faith behind when we go out of these doors on a Sunday. Yeah, our faith is absolutely vital and relevant for when we're in the workplace. And if when we go in, we look as if we're miserable working, we don't work hard, we don't do what we're told, we skive a bit, we're a bit lazy, how does that reflect on what we say we are? How does an unbelieving master look, or boss look and say, well, Christian, well, he never works, he's always doing this, he's on his phone looking up the latest sermons every 5 minutes. Yeah? You know, I know you're desperately downloading the sermons that are on our website. You know, I just know it. I know you're not because I can see the statistics. but you get the point. You know, if we as Christians in the workplace are not doing a good job, or to the best of our ability, our God-given ability, then that will actually, speak to our bosses. Well, you know, their faith, you know, actually they're the most work shy, they're the most complaining, there's always this, there's always that, you know, and they're just as big a gossip around the water cooler as anybody else around the coffee machine. Yeah, we've got to show a difference, haven't we? Yeah, and we can actually make that difference. And I've heard many testimonies of people who, you know, they've worked for a non-Christian and actually they've had opportunity to share their faith because the boss has said, you know what, I can trust you with this task, I know you'll do it. I can give you this responsibility because I know you'll take it seriously and you'll do the best you can. And, the trust starts to be built and you get the opportunity to share. Well, I do this because God has said in the workplace, I should be the best worker I can possibly be. Because it should be a reflection of what God has done within me. It's a reflection of the ability God has given me to use it. Amen? So it's very important as Christians, I believe, in the workplace to live out and be transparent about our faith. That's not to say you're giving everybody a tract every 5 minutes. You know, that's probably not going to help. But if we display through our care, our diligence, our love, our faithfulness, our trustworthiness, it can open doors. Not only with the bosses, but with your fellow workers as well. Yeah? Because, I mean, I know in my own situation, a number of times people come, David, can I just talk about this happened in my life? I'm sure, you know, I know you've had a lot of experience, or, you know, what do you think about this? And you're just able to share what I believe the Lord would say in a situation to somebody. You know, it doesn't mean they're going to become a Christian just like that, but you know what, they're going to think, you know, I can share with this person, with this man, I can share with this one. I know it's not going any further because they don't gossip round the coffee pot. Yeah, they're not tittle-tattling. I can actually unburden myself to these people and I can trust them with the words I give and my story of my life. And I found that very humbling at times when I was in the workplace. And I'm sure there'll be other testimonies here if people can look back and say, oh yeah, well that person, they opened up to me because they knew I was a Christian. They knew they could trust me. They knew I wouldn't be gossiping about all their business and so on. And it really can help. So a witness to an unbelieving master will reflect our faith. But if we're disrespectful, then it will influence that person's view of our faith as well. Because if we say, well, he's just a heathen. Yeah, they're into this thing, they're into that thing. Oh dear, they're terrible. And you've got no respect for your bosses. That will also reflect. Yeah? How do we think they're ever going to change unless we are salt and light into their company or into their business? Yeah? It's whatever we do. And Paul says this in the letter to the Colossians, whatever you do, work at it as if you're working for Christ. As if, you know, Christ, ultimately, Christ is our boss. If we believe that God directs our steps, ultimately, we've got to say, well, God's placed me in this company. He's allowed me to come into this company for a purpose and for a season. What opportunity can I seize to bring glory to him? Yeah? It's a very different attitude, perhaps, what the world has. Well, you know, I'll get this job, and that'll be a stepping stone to this job, and it'll be a stepping stone to that job, and, yeah, I can see my career progression. Well, our career progression is whatever's in God's hands. What does God want us to do? Where does God want us to work? Where does God want us to be the salt and the light? Amen? And God will order the steps of a righteous man. It doesn't say he'll order the steps of an unrighteous one, but a righteous one. One who honours God, God will guide the steps. And sometimes, you know, jobs can be tough. It can be, you know, horrible situations you're in. But you've got to say, well, somehow God wants me here. And he'll give me the strength, the fortitude to not buckle under and not to become like the other people who are bitter around me or, say, gossiping and rumour mongers and, not pulling your weight. Yeah, we've got to be very careful with our witness to what God has done in our lives and what he wants to do. Amen? So, that's a little bit of if the boss is not a Christian. But what if he is? Well, Paul tells us, doesn't he? And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren. In other words, Paul's saying, you know, just because your boss is a Christian, don't think you've got an easy ride. Don't think you can disrespect them just because they're brethren. You need to be able to treat them in the same way. Yeah? Our attitude should be the same. Respect. Well, that's true all of us, isn't it? We're supposed to respect one another as brethren. But somehow people seem to think that, well, once you get into the work relationship, things will change, things will be different. Well, you still need to respect your Christian boss. So, you work well for them, don't you? You maintain a good witness, because again, not everybody within that firm or that company or that factory will be Christians. Maybe a Christian boss doesn't mean everybody's a Christian there. So amongst the workforce, you work well. You witness through your life what God has done and what God is doing. Amen. And Paul says that, you know, if you do that, if you serve them, and you serve them well, they will receive benefit. Yeah? So it's a good thing. You're working well, and your boss, who's a Christian, is actually benefiting. And hopefully, that benefit will then flow into the church, because the boss is a good tither, you know? And the kingdom of God is built. So in other words, you're working hard. Hopefully, he's a good master. He's, you know, treats you well, pays you an appropriate wage, but actually if you work well, then actually you're benefiting the kingdom, you're benefiting a brother or a sister who's in charge of that company or founded that company and running it. Amen. So it's a good thing for you to work well, that they might be profited. Yeah, it's good to, you know, ensure your brethren are profited, isn't it? Yeah, it's part of building one another up. If God has given somebody an ability in business, then it's good to see it thriving, isn't it? And doing well. That's not saying, you know, this is a prosperity gospel and we're all going to be rich. But what I'm saying is that when God has given ability for somebody to be able to form a business or to run a company and it's doing well, that actually speaks goodness of God over the workers, sometimes over a whole community. I mean, if you think about, if historically, I know the companies are very different these days, but the Canterbury Company, for instance, in Birmingham, because of their faith, they were Quakers, they built what was called a model village Doesn't mean it's a lot like a matchstick, but it was they built cottages and housing for their workers, which were far, far better than the normal cottages or houses that workers would have in those days. And still today, that area of Bourneville near the factory, many of those cottages are still there. And there's still some of the laws or covenants they put over the land are still there. There's no off licences. There's no pubs because they felt their workers shouldn't be tempted to become drunkards. So I think even now, in 2018, there's still not a pub on the whole estate or an off licence. But that's because from their faith as factory owners, they wanted their workers to benefit, their whole community to benefit from, they made the profits which enabled them to build to house their workers. Not every employer did that. And some employers did that and produced the shoddiest possible housing to say, well, we've given you something. But they produced and built the best for their day. I mean, today we probably think, oh, that's not much. But in their day, fantastic. Because those bosses lived out their faith. Their belief that in the dignity of their workers, that their workers need to be treated with respect as well as the workers treating them with respect. It's a mutual thing, isn't it? Yeah, it's a mutual thing. And as I say, you may not be working just with Christians, almost certainly won't be, but your witness can speak to those you're working with, that you are different, that the love of God is in your heart, the hope for the future is in your heart, that you have been set free from the bondage of the world and the bondage of Satan. You can, as it were, earn the right to be heard through your loving witness. Amen. And also, essentially, you need to work hard because, again, you don't want to get this idea, well, house group leader's the boss. Yeah, so it doesn't matter what I do because he's going to love me anyway. Because he's got to. Well, I'll just cut a few corners. I'll shirk a little bit. I'll get away with it. He won't come down heavy on me because I'm a brother. I'm in the same church or a church down the road. Well, no, we've got to ensure that we're diligent in our work. Amen? Just because you've got a kind boss, don't take advantage of him. Yeah? Yeah, one day that kind boss may move on. A new boss comes in, finds out what you're doing, and you're out. So don't shirk your responsibilities. That's what Paul's really saying here. There's got to be mutual respect between masters and, in those days, slaves, but now bosses, if you like, and the workforce. And it works together for God's glory. Now, I want to move on to another scripture. Because I've already mentioned the fact that we're supposed to be salt and light in the workplace. And I want to just put some practical pointers. If you look at Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16, where Jesus talks about the fact that we need to be salt and light within our communities. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavour, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So that's the basis, really, for how we should be, yes, in our community, but that also applies to the workplace, isn't it? For many of us, we will spend far too long in the workplace. Yes, it's still the norm to have 35, 40-hour working weeks officially. Then you'll have the overtime, and then you'll have the unofficial overtime you work just because everybody else does, and it becomes expected. You don't get paid for it, but if you don't do it, then it'll be thought badly of. So many of us will spend an awful lot of time in our workplace, whether that's an office, a school, a factory, on a farm, wherever it happened to be, we're going to spend an awful lot of time there. More time, probably, most weeks than you'll spend with your family. Certainly more time you'll spend with your church family. So we need to be equipped through God's word to live out our life in that workplace. So first of all, I'll again speak to, as it were, the bosses, and some of us will be managers, some of us will be bosses, some of us, I don't know, may even have our own businesses. Well, as a boss, how do we be salt and light? First of all, speak and deal honestly. Speak and deal honestly. Yeah, honesty in truth has to be undergirding all of our lives. But if you're a boss, you need to speak and deal honestly. I know, you know, you'll have people say, well, in this particular industry, you've got to cut this corner. You get more profit if you do this. A little bit of cheaper materials, you make more profit, Nobody will know. Well, that might be all right for an unbelieving owner. That's not all right for a Christian. We need to be ensuring that we deliver what we say we're going to deliver. I don't remember, some of us may remember back in the 80s, there used to be a TV program. There was a man there, Arthur Daly, who was a car salesman. Yeah, with all the reputation that second-hand car salesmen have. And he said, his motto was, "My word is my bond." Well, actually, his word was probably anything but truth. You could not rely on a thing this man said in the show. And we need to be careful that when we say we're going to deliver, we'll deliver. As if we're bosses, we need to speak and deal honestly. Carry out our business with integrity. With integrity. Now, as I say, in some industries especially, that it's renowned for people undercutting and doing dodgy deals and, paying backhanders to get contracts. As Christians, if we're in business, we've got to avoid that. And you know what? It will become known with you in your industry if you're a person of integrity. Now, it might mean your profits aren't quite so big, but you can sleep securely at night knowing you've done the right thing and you've honoured God in the way that you have lived and the way you've worked. Amen? Then be blameless in money matters, because, obviously in business money talks, money does lots of things, money lies a lot. You need to be blameless. People can't have an opportunity to say, well, he's a bit of a dodgy dealer. I wouldn't trust him with a contract. They'll weasel their way out. Got to be totally blameless in money matters. I put next, pay fairly. The worker is worthy of his hire. So we should be, as bosses, ensuring our people are paid fairly. That what they've worked, they are paid a good rate. Amen? Not just that, well, we can get away with the minimum, so we will. But pay fairly. You know what? I know some people will take advantage of that, but generally if you pay well, you'll get more out of your workforce. If they think they're being, done down or been given a bad deal, there'll be no loyalty to the company. They'll just be looking for a reason to complain. If you deal fairly, in my experience at least, if you deal fairly with people in business, they will deal fairly with you. Provide fair working conditions. In other words, we've got all the health and safety advice out there, and I know we've got to keep to that, but it's again, you can, with all the health and safety, you can tick every single box but still be an awful place to work. Yeah? Because you put a burden on people that, you've got to get this much done in this time, and it's unrealistic. Yeah, I've ticked all safety boxes. Everything's working safely, but they're working, harder than they need to. They're being put into different dangers. Maybe not physical, but maybe mental, because of the pressure you're putting them under. So fair working conditions. I put here, because this is always a temptation in business. It's temptation anyway. Avoid innuendo and sexual temptations, because they will be there. And if you're in a position of power in whatever organisation, whether it's a business, some other organisation or a church, people who are in power can abuse it, can't they? And sadly, we've seen that very recently with a high-profile case in America, yet again, of a man who is much revered and respected, has had to resign, and his whole leadership of his church has resigned because of allegations of inappropriate behaviour. For Christian bosses or managers, we've got to ensure that, we are living with integrity. You don't flirt with the secretary. It'll get noticed. You don't go away for a weekend with certain people in your business. You know, we're planning strategy. Yeah. And every meter's in the bedroom. Yeah, sure. We know what sort of strategy we're talking about. I'm serious here. It's so important that we can set that agenda and we can set that high mark. That if we don't have this, it's not a way we operate. Amen? And you'd hope that that would, so your example as a boss would flow through to your organisation, to your business, that it doesn't happen there either. Yeah? Have to be very careful. And, as I say, this innuendo and sexual temptation works both ways. It's not just men who abuse, women do as well. So don't think, oh, it's only the men. Because there are times that women will use temptation as well to get their way or win that contract. Sad, but it happens. So it works both ways. Amen? Control temper. Control your anger. Yeah, that person's done it wrong yet again! And they've done it last week! Okay. Calm. If you've got anger in the workplace, it'll soon spread. Anger does spread, doesn't it? Because it sets somebody else off. And they got angry with me, so I'll get angry with you. And they've done me down, so I've got the power to do this to you. And, it just infects the whole community of the workplace. You've got to control it. Don't let your anger get the better of you. Amen? Listen to complaints sympathetically. Oh, yeah. I know about it, yeah. Next. We've not listened, and you won't do anything about it. Yeah, there will be things that go wrong in your business. There will be people who feel aggrieved about something. We need to try and be as sympathetic as possible to our workforce. Amen? So again, it's about respect, it's about honour and listening. Doesn't mean you'll take every complaint and do exactly what that person says. At the end of the day, you've got to make the decision. But at least listen with sympathy or sympathetically and actually give them a fair hearing rather than just dismissing, oh, it's them complaining yet again. I won't get angry about it, I just won't listen. Yeah? Okay, so if that's the boss, for them to be salt and light, there's just a few points. I'm sure many, many more things you could think of for yourself. But if you're a worker, and that probably applies to most of us, first of all, put in a good day's work. Put in a good day's work. You don't shirk. You're not off for a convenience break every 5 minutes. Some people do. Yeah, if you're somebody who can't keep off social media, it's under your desk and you're watching that more than you're doing your work, are you doing a good day's work? No. Got to be those the bosses can trust. Yeah, I've given them a task, they'll do their best. Now, if they don't complete the task in the time given, there will be a reason. And if you've generally put in a good day's work, the boss will think, well, it's okay, they've not been shirking, it's just it's taken longer than I thought it would. Yeah? They're more likely to be sympathetic to the situation than they think, he's been on Facebook for half the day. And the boss knows because he's been on it as well. And you see... No, I'm serious. A lot of big companies, there are people who will be checking social media, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, and they will spot workers who are doing it. Don't give them an excuse to dismiss you. Don't give them an excuse to, put you down. We need to be sure we've got, again, it's all down to integrity, isn't it? So observe the rules and policies of where we work. They're there for a reason. We might not agree with those rules, but you know what? We need to. Our God is a God of order. And sometimes we don't like the rules and may not like the policies, but let's be the best workers we can. This one, never steal. Well, we should know that, shouldn't we? 10 Commandments. those coffee pods. I've got a nice machine like that at home. I'll just have a few. Yeah, I've never worked anywhere with that coffee pot. I've never done it. I could just do a few photocopies. I won't pay for them. Ooh, that's a nice pen. Could do with that at home. Yeah? By the way, never trust an accountant with a pen. You will never see it again. I speak from experience. If Uncle John was here, he'd say, well, you can never find the pen he's left there. Somebody's always had it, and it's not me. Who it is, but anyway, you know, obviously there are other things, you know, whatever business you happen to be in, you know. Now, if there's, you know, perhaps you're give an example, it's a food production company, and there's always leftovers. Well, if the company policy is that you can take leftovers, fine. If the policy isn't, then you shouldn't. Yeah, but it might go to waste. Yeah, but the policy is you don't take it. Yeah? I remember when I was working for a cheese wholesaler, if some of the cheese got close to the date, it would be on a trolley. And the sign was on the thing, you know, on Friday, whatever's here, you can take. Fine. Problem was that some people were just going onto the main shelves and saying, oh, I fancy some of that, in the pocket. Yeah. We then had, I can remember once, a local person who we supplied, ringing us up and saying, I've been able to buy some very cheap cheese. And, oh, far cheaper than you sell it. And so, no, yeah. He says, I'm sure it's that one of your drivers who was selling it. And it wasn't a coyote, it was like 10 pound blocks of cheese he was selling. But yeah, never steal. Never steal. Avoid complaining. I know sometimes it is necessary. Sometimes conditions or situations, you do need to raise a complaint because it becomes intolerable. But if you get a reputation that you're moaning about everything, it's not a good witness. Yeah? Be pleasant and likeable. That's a nice, glib phrase. But, you know, if we're sold and like, we should be. We should be the, you know, best co-worker anybody's ever had. Shouldn't we? Not to say, oh, I'm going to have to work with her again. Oh, I'm going to have to work with him again. And that's them talking about you, by the way. We should, you know, there's enough people coming in who are really grim, they're going through tough times in their lives, and even if we are going through tough times, and probably we may be, there's no reason why we can't be pleasant to them, likeable. And they actually might think, well, how come? You've got the same problem. You're having the same problem paying your mortgage, paying your bills, you know, the insurance companies, you know, hiked your premium. How can you be so calm about all this? Yeah? And you say, well, these are tough times, tough place that we're all in, but I know my Lord is with me. I'm not alone. And you know what? This is only part of what of life. There's something far more important. There's eternal life. So be pleasant and likeable. Develop trust with those over us and around us. People can trust you with a task or with a situation. Yeah? That people would, as I've said earlier, come to you perhaps and just say, yeah, I've got this problem. And they know that they'll be heard. They know that they won't be gossiped about. And you can begin just to build that bridge and that relationship with them to be able to ultimately share the hope you have in Jesus Christ. Yes? And finally, I've got on here, live a life centered on biblical principles. Well, hopefully most of these things are reflected in the Bible. If you're being salt and light, then you really will be centered on what the Bible is calling you to do. We're called to be those who are loving. We're called to be those who are kind, who are gentle, who are patient. Hang on, that sounds like fruit of the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Yes, we're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. And if we are we just filled with the Spirit here on a Sunday? Aren't we filled with the Spirit in the office? Aren't we filled with the Spirit in our factory? Are we filled with the Spirit on our construction site? Or wherever we happen, or in a hospital, or wherever we happen to be employed? We are still filled with the same Holy Spirit. And we need to be seeing that fruit of the Spirit lived out into the workplace. So, I've gone on a bit, but always do. To sum up, hopefully some of these principles might resonate with you. And if some of these things are causing to itch a little bit, good. If some of these things are making you feel a bit uncomfortable, good. I don't make any apology for that. Because if we aren't living out these principles in the workplace, we need to change. And we need to become the salt and light. So, lessons for today, very briefly. Covered it really. Christians in the workplace are on the front line. Yeah? Concerning whether the reputation of the gospel is enhanced or suffers. Now we might say, well, yeah, but I'm not a missionary. Yes, you are. As soon as you go out that door, you're a missionary. You're carrying the gospel of Christ within you. Yeah? You've got that message there. We are called to be witnesses. Yeah? To the ends of the earth. Some of us can't even witness to the end of the road. But we need to. We are missionaries in our workplace. Yeah? People won't read the Bible. They probably won't go to church, but they see, if they know you're a Christian, and they should know you're a Christian, they see how you are. Are you a person of integrity? Are you a person of care, of kindness, of love, of patience and gentleness and so on? And that can speak volumes. But if we are just the same as them, they say, well, why should I bother with faith? Why should I bother with this Jesus you keep talking about? Why should I bother coming to church? We're on the front line in the workplace. Yeah, and sometimes we will come across some pretty horrible people. Let's be honest about it. That doesn't mean we have to be horrible back. We have to be strong. Strong in the Lord. Ask him for his guidance. Ask him for his help. Good idea before you even enter your place of work. Just pray, Lord, just help me today. Help me to be the salt and light you want me to be here. Doesn't take long just to pray that. If you're driving up in your car, park outside, a couple of minutes, just commit your time to the Lord. Commit that company, that firm, or whatever it is, the organisation you're working for. Lord, may I be a blessing into this situation. May I be a blessing and bring your light into a dark place. May I bring your salt into a corrupt situation or a corrupt organisation. May I make a difference. Yeah? Rather than some of us will say, oh Lord, change all them. Say, Lord, will you use me to bless? Will you use me to challenge? Will you use me as your mouthpiece, as you give me opportunity? Amen. Secondly, as Christians in the workplace, let's work hard and display the godly character. As I said a few minutes ago, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We should be different. You know, I confess there are times when I was at work, I was not different. There are times when I was worse. And I'd say that to my shame. So don't think I haven't been there. I can remember once, I may have shared this before, I was pretty miserable in a particular company. It's working for the Christians. And one of the managers called me into the office and said, David, can I just share a verse with you? And he shared that verse from Colossians about doing everything as if you're working for Christ. And I thought, yes! And I've always been grateful to him that he was so concerned for me and for the gospel's sake, because everybody knew I was a Christian. Not everybody was a Christian working there, but he was. He's a lovely man. And that really changed my attitude to work. And I realised actually, you know, I am, as Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ wherever we go. And I'm working the place where God, for this time, has brought me. And for whatever period of time, I'll do the best I can where I am. Amen. So display our salt and light character. And finally, when business practices conflict with biblical principles, yeah, we need to have the courage to stand up and say, that's not right. If people come along and say, well, you know, you just have to grease a few palms to get the contract, you say, well, I'm sorry, I don't do that. Because that's not how business should be done. It's dishonest. And I'm a person of integrity and a person of truth. If bosses come along and say you should cut a few corners, no. If that endangers somebody, or if that puts undue pressure on somebody else, then you need to say, I'm sorry, but that's not right. Now, if it means you lose your job, so be it. That sounds harsh, doesn't it? But you have been true to what God has called you to do. Remember, I can't remember who said it, but it was very, very in the early church, the problem that people had in employment was some of the employers, you'd have to bow down to the idol that industry. There might be an idol for, if you're a silversmith or you're a potter, there's an idol you'd have to pray to and so on and give incense to. And a Christian came to one of the church leaders and said, "But yeah, I've got to do it." And the leader said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I've got to work to live. So I've got to do this thing. I know it's against what the Bible says about idols." And the church leader just simply said, "Do you? Do you have to work to live?" And suddenly the guy realised, actually there's something higher and better than working in that situation. And they had to be true to what God had said. Well, true to God's word. I'll have to try and find that that quotation, who said it. But it was very early church when they had the problem of working in guilds and so on with idols. So we either stand up or we say, "Well, actually, I can't work here with integrity. And I trust that as I've stood up, as it were, or been obedient to the Lord, he will bring me into a place where he has for me." Who's our provider? Is it the boss or is it God? It's God. So, yeah. Yeah, again, there was a time when I was working, the company I was working for was taken over. And the people who came in, I just felt were not really, really unpleasant. And the way they treated the workforce was really bad. So in the end, I just said, "Sorry, I'm going." And I didn't have a job to go to. But I'd rather have no job than work in those circumstances. And the Lord opened up a situation very, very quickly. It's interesting, the company I went to in the end, a firm, one of the other accountants in the same organisation I was with also went there as well. Because they realised they couldn't work there either. because the conditions were so bad, the way the workforce was treated and so on. But anyway, that's by the by. I believe if you stand up for the truth of what God has called us to do and to be, he will provide. Amen? So, what I'm like, I know time has gone, but I believe this is what God wants me to do this morning. If you are struggling in your work, or you're struggling to find work, would you come and let's pray that God will give you the courage you need? If there's a particular situation in your work you want to see a breakthrough, would you come and let's pray that the Lord will give you the strength to be the salt and light that he wants you to be. So let's just leave that for a few minutes if people want to come forward and pray. Amen. We'll pray.
Again, it would be helpful if I knew, or we knew who was being prayed for and who's praying. It's all right on both sides. Okay. We've responded to God's word, that's a good thing. Let's believe that God is going to answer the prayers. And if you're sat there, if you need to go, then please feel free to leave. But if you can stay and pray, stretch out your hands and pray. For those who step forward and say, "Look, I need some help here. Let's all be part of this. We're not spectators, we're participators." Amen? Amen. So.